You know, we often say this. We say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Do you believe that? Okay. This morning, I want us to explore as what exactly does it mean that God is good? We say it, we sing of His goodness, but how does that goodness affect you and how does it affect me personally? And, you know, we go through many things during the week. Many good things, some bad things. We heard about Sunit's cousin's child who died last week. Yeah, very sad thing. 1.5-year-old child. You know, one mosquito. Have you been bitten by a mosquito? Listen, you can't be Indian if you're not bitten by a mosquito. Okay, mosquito. We are bitten by mosquitoes all the time, you know. But unfortunately, there are people who are bitten by one mosquito and get dengue or something like that, or whatever. I don't know what she died from, but some disease. And we say, "Oh no, Lord, that's so painful." Yeah? And then we go through other challenges, maybe in relationships, maybe in finances, maybe in jobs, all kinds of, you know, struggles during the week, and we say, Lord, where are you? And this morning, I want to encourage us and to help us to say that no matter what you're going through, okay, we've got to focus on God's unchanging nature, that He is good, and He's good all the time, and He's good to you. All right, turn to somebody and say, God is good. Okay. Amen. Now, you know, when some people call Jesus good, and in Mark chapter 10, verse 18, Mark chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus answered, He says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Now, that's the first thing, okay, that God, Jesus Himself said, God is good, all right? Now, we often use the word good very loosely. You know, we said, wow, that biryani was good. Yeah, we say that dress is good, that movie is good. But here, Jesus is saying that in His definition of good, no one and nothing is good except God Himself. That means God is perfect. The other things, you know, we can do good things, we can do good, but we are still tainted with imperfections when it comes to God. And, you know, how do we get an understanding of what exactly do we mean by God is good? Well, you know, Moses in Exodus chapter 33 and 34, yeah, if you turn to that, Exodus 33, he wanted a revelation of God. And he says, God, show me your glory. Turn to Exodus chapter 33. Verses 19, 18 onwards, we can read that. Exodus 33, verse 18. And it says that Moses said, now show me your glory. And the next verse is what God says. He says, and the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord in your presence. And he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And God does just that. So what did Moses say? Moses said, God, I want to see your glory. And God was pleased with him. And he says, okay, I will do just that. And, you know, and it goes on to say how God revealed himself to Moses. And then in Exodus chapter 34, it talks about more about God in verse 6. And he passed in front of Moses. This is God revealing himself to Moses. And he says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. What is God's goodness? He's slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And so Moses spent 40 days in God's presence, speaking with God and listening to His word, enjoying His goodness. What was the result of that? Verse 29 of chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Wow. Moses encountered the goodness, the glory, the presence of God. And when he came down, you know what he had to do? He had to wear a burqa. That's what it says here. Okay, look at verse 33. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. Verse 33, Exodus 34, verse 33. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Now, when we say, Lord, show me your goodness. I want to spend time in your presence, in your word. I want to taste of your glory. The result was, you know, imagine putting a veil. Have you seen the ladies with a veil that cover the face completely? Well, that's what Moses did because his face was shining and people couldn't bear that. Amazing. And I tell you, as you spend time in God's presence, there will be some of the radiance of God that will come upon you. Okay? Where people will somehow look at you and say, there's something different about you. Has it happened to you? Yeah, has it happened? They can't explain what it is, but they say there's something different. Some will go so far as to say, there is some positive energy with you. You know, and then they can't explain what it is. But it is the presence of God that impacts us and transforms us. That is what it is. Okay? So this morning, my prayer is that as we meditate and as we look at the goodness of God, this is what will happen. That you too, by His Holy Spirit, will be transformed. And you'll have strength to face the week. Okay? Shall we pray? Come. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a good God, Lord. We thank you that you are a merciful God. You are a compassionate God. You are abounding in love. Lord, would you come this morning by your Spirit and reveal your goodness to us, Lord, that we may see your glory like you revealed it to Moses. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, what do we mean by God's goodness? Okay? We mean two things. One, we mean His character is good. In His inherent being, His disposition is good. Okay, that's the character. Now, how do you know a person has got good character? It is outworked in his words and in his actions. Okay, so when we're looking at God, we're saying His character is good. That's what, you know, Jesus says and the Bible says it. But then we look at His words and His actions and we see God's goodness there. In Psalm 119, verse 68, it captures His goodness in His words and His deeds. Psalm 119, verses 68 says this. What is that? You are good and you do what is good. Teach me your decrees. You are good and you do what is good. That's what God is like. Okay? Now, let's think about God's goodness to us on three different ways. Look at the natural way that God is good. We live on this planet called, anybody know the name? Earth. Okay, Earth. And we don't think too much about it. We get up in the morning, brush our teeth, get on with life. But listen, the Earth is this little ball that's blue and green and all these different colors, but it is 93 million miles away from the sun. Okay, all those scientists know that. 93 million miles away from the sun. And you know what? If it was any closer to the sun, we would all fry up. Okay? If we were any further away from the sun, we would all freeze up. Okay, so the location is amazing. And that's the goodness of God. What else? Yeah. The earth is on its axis. Do you know that we have an axis? Yeah, 23 degrees. Because of that, we have the different seasons. Okay, we've got the different seasons because it is on the axis. If it was at any other angle, we'd have continents of ice, you know, where, or the atmosphere would just be poisonous and not good enough. So in just the natural things of life, we see the goodness of God. We have the atmosphere around us, the earth. You know, when rockets go up, it's very difficult to break through that atmosphere. But that same atmosphere, what it does is when meteors hurtle from outer space and hit the earth, they disintegrate. Goodness of God. Okay? So when we look at nature, we can see how good God is to us. Okay. Not only nature, but we can look at God's intervention in our lives. Okay? Throughout the Old Testament, the Israelites spoke about the goodness of God, okay, right from the time they were rescued from Egypt, yeah, when they were slaves there, through every other thing that happened. So we see in the Bible a record of God's goodness. Now think about your life. Has God been good to you? Yeah. You know, Andrew was sharing this morning that about God's goodness to us and saying that just the fact that we are alive is God's goodness to us. Okay? Just the fact that we have health, there are so many who are struggling with health, is God's goodness to us. Just the fact that we have a job. You know, you may say, I wish I had a better job. You know, I wish I had a higher salary, a better position, a promotion. But just His provision there is a sign of God's goodness to us. Okay? So we can see God's goodness in His kindness to us in everything that we take for granted. We take for granted. You know, we may not even realize how many times the Lord has rescued us from danger. The other night, we were sleeping. It was close to 12 o'clock in the night. And suddenly we heard just opposite our home, we heard a huge bang. We woke up, looked down, and we saw two scooterists lying, one of them lying on the ground. Okay? This is at 12 o'clock in the night. And the guy was not waking up. Okay? And both of them were not wearing helmets. Okay? And but at 12 o'clock, 20 people gathered there and picked them up, took the pillion, put them in a rickshaw, and they must have gone to a hospital. The next morning I went, and from this is 12 o'clock in the night, we could see there was blood on the ground. The next morning I went there and got a picture of that. It was bloody. Okay? Now, how many times have we been on a bike? Yeah? Angels, who's speaking about angels today? Austin, was it? You know, there are angels that are watching over us and protecting us every step of the way, isn't it? Yeah, it's the goodness of God. We take these things for granted. Okay, but what we've got to do is, you know, say, Lord, I thank you. I'm alive. I mean, was it this morning or last night? I opened the kitchen drawer and a knife fell off and whoop, just missed me. You know, kitchens are dangerous places. I've had the most accidents in them. Seriously. You know, but so really, that's how it is. Okay? And we've got to say, Lord, you are watching over my every step because you're a good God. Okay? He's watching our coming and our going. Okay. Then, of course, we see the goodness of God in Jesus. And that is the biggest thing that we see. Okay? That, you know, and really we see that because of God's goodness, because of His love for us, we have been saved. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Now, we can often take this for granted. Okay, but let's look at it. Romans 5:8. It says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the most amazing fact of God's goodness and His love toward us. Now, okay, how many have been Christians for 5 years at least? 10 years? 15 years. Wow. Okay. You know, so as time goes by, you know, we can become familiar with these truths. But for us to realize that you are sitting here this morning because Jesus died on a cruel death on a cross because he loved you. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And so for us to remind ourselves of this, that is what God did for us. He died for us on the cross, and that is just a sign of his goodness towards us. Okay? Now, his death on the cross was not just to save us from hell, that's one part of it, but it was to give us himself and heaven thrown in as well. Okay? In Romans 8:32, it says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, grant us, graciously give us all things?" You know, sometimes we say, will God help me in this situation and that situation and all that? But really what Romans is telling us is the Father has already given us the biggest thing, and that is Jesus. The other things that we are asking for are tiny compared to what he has already given us. Okay? Get it through us. His disposition towards you is that he wants to be good to you. Now, I was thinking about different kinds of teachers you may have had in school. Okay, two different kinds. One is, you know, the teacher, have you had this teacher where the teacher's aim is to find fault with you? Have you had that kind of teacher? Yeah? Anything they'll try to find, you know, how can, in the question paper, the answer paper, how can I deduct some marks from this person? Okay, their aim is to put such a tough paper that you can't succeed. And they gloat. Ah, nobody could solve this question number 1 and 5 and 7 and 3. You know, that's the kind of thing. And then you have the other kinds of teachers who are there to help you. Okay, their aim is to help you succeed. So when you don't understand something or something, they say, okay, how can I explain? How can I make things easier? See the different kinds of teachers? Now, which one is God-like? Okay. The helpful one. Now, some people think God is like that strict teacher, waiting to see us get out of line and then punish us all the time. Okay? But God is the teacher who loves us. He wants to see us succeed. When we fall, he lifts us up. He helps us. He's not there to condemn us, but he's there to change us. Now, does this mean that life is all rosy? Okay, we will face, now you may say, Colin, if God is so good, why am I facing troubles in my life? Why am I facing challenges in my life? Well, James gives us the answer. Turn to James chapter 1. Sorry, my Bible. Verse 2. Okay. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Okay? Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, if we have the right perspective of what is happening in our lives, we will be able to face the difficulties and challenges of life. Okay? So when we face a challenge or a trial, it's not that God is not good. He is good. But even through that trial, he's doing something in you. He wants you to persevere, so that you may be mature and complete. Wouldn't that help us face challenges easily? Yeah. So whatever challenge you're facing, say, Lord, I know you're working in me. I'm trusting in you. You are good. Have you ever, who knows to ride a bicycle? Yeah, all of us. Now, did you ride it on your own the first time, or did you have somebody holding it behind you. Maybe your father, brother, friend, somebody. You know, I remember a friend of mine helped me ride this bicycle. I vividly remember his bicycle. I didn't have one. And I said, please hold it up. Don't leave. He said, okay. So I'm riding away. I said, thanks. It's going well. I turned around. He's not there. Damn, I fell down. You know, but so that's what happens when we, you know, so it's like that. God will enable, riding the bicycle, he's going to let go. We may fall down, we'll get a little bit hurt, but the end result is we'll be mature and complete. We'll be able to ride that bicycle on our own, okay? So think about what you're going through right now. The lie of the enemy is, God is not good. That is why you're going through the problem or something to that effect. Okay? The truth of the word is, consider it pure joy. Now, isn't that amazing to change our mindset towards trials? You know, what would you consider pure joy? The Bible says when you face trials, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Okay? So if we just change our perspective and say, Lord, there's this trial here. I'm struggling with it, but I know you're doing it so that I develop perseverance and that I may be mature and complete. Lord, I need your grace to help me go through that. Okay. So this morning, let's look at a few verses once again that speak about God's goodness. As we go from this place, we are saying God is good because of his natural blessings. We see that with just the air we breathe. By the way, do you know about the air in Delhi? Oh, it's horrendous. They've shut down some hotels, 5-star hotels or something that everybody with masks and all that. So take a deep breath this morning. Listen, we have beautiful air here. Praise God. All right? That's one. Natural blessings that have come our way, just the way the earth is. What about God's intervention in your life? Think about it. Every rickshaw ride you take, every scooter ride you take, every time a mosquito buzzes around or anything, God's protection and blessing is upon you. Whenever you get depressed, count to five. Count five blessings that you have. All right? It'll just take away the depression. And thirdly, we remember the goodness of God when we look at Jesus on the cross. That's it. We deserved hell. We deserved eternal punishment. But God poured out his love for us that he died on the cross for our sins. Let's look at a couple of verses. Look at Psalm chapter 23. And let these words echo in our lives, in our minds. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shall we read that together aloud? Come. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That is God's promise for us. All right, no matter what our challenges, let's look to the cross. Let's look to the goodness of God in his character and in his deeds. You know, and let's move forward with faith. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are good and you are good all the time, Lord. Lord, even when we are going through challenges, we know that you are still good and you are working out all things for our good. Lord, I pray for each one of us that we would continue to grow in our knowledge of you, Lord. That we would just celebrate your goodness at all times. Help us to be more and more aware of that, Lord. Lord, may your Holy Spirit reveal that to us. Your goodness in your words, your goodness in your deeds, your goodness in your actions in our lives. We want to just celebrate you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.